Hey, Magic fans, this is Kristen Ledlow from NBA TV and NBA Inside Stuff, and you're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast. Now, it's over to Geraint, Mikey, and Paul. Go Magic!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
How's it going, Magic fans, and welcome to this week's episode of Penny for Your Thoughts, the Orlando Magic UK podcast. This week, as ever, I'm joined by the podcast Iron Man, or Iron Lung, as that might be, Mikey Clark. So how's it going in the deep south, Mikey?
The lungs are struggling with this cough, but I can't shift it at the moment. But apart from that, mate, I'm good, thank you. How's your week going?
Busy, but getting there, man. Getting there, thanks for asking. And as ever, we're also joined by the president of the Markel Fultz fan club, the scourge of the valleys, Mr. Geraint Jones. So how's the burner of the purple and gold tonight?
Oh, thanks for that introduction, mate. I wore my Markel Fultz badge when I saw this on the agenda, and I thought, gotta represent. I'm all right. Glad the Lakers lost the other night. I'm sure we'll get onto that at some point later on. So, I think we've got a bit more to say about the playoffs, so I'm looking forward to having a chat.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit of a chat about that. When I was saying the burner, by the way, I meant as in fire and not that you've got a Lakers burner account going, so I'm just going to clarify that. And finally, last but not least, it's the Archbishop of Arkansas, Mr.
Do you know what? You make one mistake.
Several, Paul. Several, but that's my favorite.
All right. One's perhaps stretching the truth.
How are you tonight, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, my friend. Yeah, all good here in Mansfield. Yeah, looking forward to talking some basketball.
Well, speaking of Mansfield, on July the 15th, there's the Orlando Magic UK meetup. If you are interested in that, and if you're in the UK and a Magic fan, or if you just happen to be in the UK at that time and not necessarily a resident, drop us a message and we'll be happy to give you the details of where the best meetup in the UK of Magic fans, I think it's the only one, but the best one as well, is taking place. So that's the first thing. Tonight's episode, we're going to be revisiting our pre-season picks from the two-hour marathon episode that we did at the start of the season. We're going to give some thoughts on the NBA playoffs, and we're going to consider just how tough our man Admiral Schofield really is. Before we get started on that, though, just some affiliate plugs. If you're interested in Orlando Magic merchandise, there's a range of that available on NBA EU for order. You might see a number of players depending on what jerseys they've got in stock at that time, but it ranges usually from current to also Mitchell and Ness and some of their spin-offs. And basically, it might not be the best code for you at the time, but we offer 10% off if you use ours, which is MagicUK10, and that will get you 10% off your order. If you're thinking about something a little bit more bespoke, you can always head over to magicfansapparel.tmil.com for some of our own merchandise. Links will be in the description. And finally, the big one for us, you can help support the podcast by simply subscribing to our YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. And if you've subscribed through another platform, it would really help us as well. We really appreciate it. But if you could just hit that subscribe button. So, Magic news. And it's obviously our season's over with. But there was one piece of news this week, which I'm interested to get thoughts on. There was an anonymous poll of players in the league held by The Athletic. And they asked which player in the league would you least like to fight? Unsurprisingly, James Johnson received over 41% of the votes, followed by Stephen Adams with his strongman reputation at 27%. Other then took 15%. Sixers star Joel Embiid had over 3%, the same for Udonis Haslam. And then we saw Giannis at 2%, joined by Lou Dort, Marcus Smart, and our very own Admiral Schofield. So before I get on to the main question, and just open question to start with, I'm going to start with Paul. Is there any surprises when you see this list, Paul? Has anything stood out to you there?
Mate, I'll be honest. Not really. Not really surprised. I can see why Admiral's there. He definitely looks like a guy who can handle himself. He's always happy to be in and amongst it. So, yeah, James Johnson. Yeah, no surprise at all. He's a big guy. And I think I've read somewhere in the past that he does martial arts and he's quite proficient at it. My mind, when I saw the question, immediately went to Stephen Adams and Jokic. we saw the damage that Jokic can do with just a little push in the back. that lays people out.
I think if you fought Jokic, though, it would be kind of like starting one of those like Street Fighter games where if you beat him, you then get one of his brothers. And then if you beat him, you'd be flown off to like Serbia.
Fighting on a boss level.
Yeah, boss level of one of his brothers or something like that.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm not necessarily sure that some of these more vocal guys are that you see in the games are necessarily the hardest. The honest experience tells me that some of the ones who give it the big one aren't always the ones that you've got to watch.
Dylan Brooks.
I'll tell you who I wouldn't mind that. Mate, I know that they're still in the league, but in the day, I don't think Rolo or Udonis Haslam would have been an easy take. And I can definitely see that LeBron and somebody like Montrezl Harrell, that I'm guessing that they'd be a bit of a handful and really difficult to keep hold of as well. So yeah, I thought that list was quite understandable.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some interesting names on there, and Paul, I obviously came to you first with the nickname Biffa.
there was a reason.
But I'll go to the angriest man on the pod. Gee, there's no referees on that list. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Paul said. You know, it's the ones you expected. I would be interested to know who were the others, the other 15% that was made up. I kind of expected maybe Brook Lopez to be on there. As Paul mentioned, Montrezl Harrell. It's the big guys, isn't it? And as you alluded to, you know, the smaller, chippier kind of players, they're not really going to feature because you put one of these big boys up against them and, you know, I'm sure they'd pipe down.
I'll be honest, coming back in, I do think that somebody like Kyle Lowry, a bit of a snide, dirty fighter, and you'd end up having to really watch what he was doing. I can imagine that he'd be able to hold his own.
I think he's got a low blow in him, Lowry.
Yeah, 100%.
He'd do the back and off like the wrestling heel and then give you the
low blow. You'd do a harder.
I think he'd do the back and off and the low blow like Ric Flair style.
He'd be doing a James Harden this week.
He takes some knocking over because he's got a low center of gravity with that backside and his legs.
You think it'd be like one of those Weebles where you push them and you wobble, but they don't go down. So, Mikey, what were your thoughts on this list? Is there anything?
I think Paul and G really said most of the ones. I had the Lopez brothers, Jokic. Nobody's mentioned Draymond Green. I mean, we saw the punch that he laid on Jordan Poole in the off-season. I think Draymond can handle himself a little bit as well. And the other one that comes to mind is maybe somebody like Valanciunas. Just those.
Yeah, good shout.
Yeah.
He would be another one in there for me. But yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with Robin Lopez back in the day either. If you had a war with Lopez, Embiid, James Johnson, Aquaman, just stand behind them and let them get on with it.
You wouldn't want to. So if one of them spilt your cider, you wouldn't be too upset with them.
Absolutely not. I'll be buying them one.
Sorry for me putting me drinking your way, young man.
Do you know who I think's a player who looks like he could handle himself, but he's very placid, which probably means he can handle himself? Desmond Bane.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Quietish guy, but when you look at him, that's the one who you should really be worried about, I think.
Yeah, that's what I say. Experience tells me that it's not always the vocal ones that you need to be watching.
Nah. Yeah. I look at that and I'm like, Dylan Brooks, he's the one who's making his mouth go around. Like, I think Desmond Bane would be the guy to watch there.
It's not surprised James Johnson, though, is it? Did you see part of that poll that his mum and dad have both got black belts? He's got a black belt. All his siblings have got black belts. And I can't. What's his nickname? Is it? It's Blood something. I can't remember what it is exactly.
Can you remember his nickname's whatever he wants it to be, really.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm gonna ask this question about Admiral Schofield. Obviously, Admiral's a tough guy. We saw him square up to Harrell before when there was the boot off last season. Harrell must have been feeling pretty froggy when he wanted to jump against Robin Lopez and Admiral Schofield. But you look at Admiral, you know he can handle himself. He obviously wears the number 25, which is going to become significant in a moment. We've got our Disney patches. We know the team's closely affiliated with Disney, and therefore comes Mickey Mouse. So the question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to go to G first for this, is would you rather fight?
Oh, God. Can I just say, it's Bloodsport is his nickname, James Johnson. Just
he sounds it. Delightful, doesn't he?
Yeah.
G, would you rather fight an Admiral Schofield size and built Mickey Mouse, or would you rather fight 25 mouse-sized Admiral Schofields? So what would you prefer?
Oh, God. I think an Admiral Schofield-sized Mickey Mouse.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just because he might be a little bit smaller than me. And that's the only way I'm going to get around anything, because I'm short and, you know, I'm no good in a fight, let's be honest.
No, so, are we talking...
I'd be looking at the three of you. You know, you're the fighters on the pod.
I've got a DBS at stake here. I haven't seen anything. Mikey,
yeah, you're talking to two guys who work with kids.
Mikey, what about you? What would you prefer?
Well, are we talking a meet and greet Mickey Mouse or mouse-sized Mickey Mouse?
So I'm talking about you take Mickey Mouse, but he becomes the same size as Admiral Schofield with the same build.
No, I'll take the 25 Mickey Mouse sizes. You can just stamp on those, can't you?
So okay.
Do a Draymond Green.
So mouse-sized 25 mouse-sized Admiral Schofields for Mikey.
Yeah.
So Paul, what about you?
Ditto. You've got to go the small mouse size. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Just get a broom.
I'm going to throw a curveball on this one, because I would actually rather fight the Mickey Mouse that's built like Admiral Schofield, purely based on chaos factor. Because even if there's 25 mice sized Admiral Schofield, Admiral's got the chaos factor that Mickey Mouse would never have. So I'll take one instead of the 25, because you can sweep their mice as much as you want. You know they're coming back biting, and they're going to get you when you're asleep.
Yeah, but
so.
is this because you've lost the good two stone now, Gary, and you can run away from them as well?
Oh, thanks, Mikey. Yeah, me and my 32-inch waist are really not happy about this right now. Don't worry.
The way my waist is going, I could just body slam them at the moment.
There's no getting up from it. I'm going to get back to 220, Mikey. Don't you worry about that. This is the way.
You need to start lifting. When are you going to start lifting anyway?
Me, when I find a good personal trainer, but I haven't met any yet.
You need to keep lifting there. You won't find that here.
For anyone who wants personal training services, I will say Mikey's brilliant. There you go, Mikey.
And the room goes quiet.
Yeah.
And he's also good at painted and decorated.
Yeah, if you want... Mikey, we're trying here. We're trying. I'm trying to give you the plugs.
It's all right.
So at the start of the season, we ran this pod and we did an episode. We looked at our pre-season picks, and it was a mammoth episode. It was over 2 hours in length. And I'm basically going to go around the room and ask you to think about, we focused a lot on the Eastern Conference, but I want you to think about the predictions that were made. Which ones were you most proud of, where you think, yeah, I nailed that, or I was pretty near the mark? And also, which were the ones where you go, actually, I was all over the place there, and I feel like a bit of an idiot now. So, Mikey, I'll start with you. If you think back to your predictions that were made, which ones stood out as, yeah, I did well there, and which ones do you go, oh, my word.
Have you gone to me because I'm, like, at the bottom?
I never thought of it like
hello,
that. I just thought,
hello, barrel.
start from the ground up. Is that the way this is working? No, I'm joking.
Oh, Mikey, you're breaking my heart tonight, man.
It's all right. I'm just playing with you. The one I'm going to say is the Cavaliers. That was the obvious pick. I picked them to finish third at the beginning of the season. They obviously finished fourth, a couple of games behind the Sixers. I'm not surprised after the season they've had. They've been relatively healthy for most of that as well, which has been an important factor as well. But the Cavaliers, yeah, that would be one of the ones. I think I had Joel Embiid as the MVP, which by some of the polls that we've seen floating around, looks likely that he might be this season's MVP. So there's that one. And I actually said to G, I don't think I made this in the predictions at the beginning of the season, but it must have been February or March, G. And I said to you, I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks make the conference finals this year. And they've got the depth there that they could possibly make a little run if things go their way. And the other one that I said was Brooklyn as the seventh seed. I said they had the talent there to be a championship team this year, but at the same time, you couldn't trust them to get it right or for it to work long enough, and it could all go wrong, and it did, and they had to blow it up in the end. So, yeah, the ones I was really wide of the mark, Boston dropping off for the coaching change. I think I had them to finish fifth or sixth this season, and they're still there. They're still a championship caliber team, unfortunately. Yeah, other than that,
you were big on the Raptors as well.
I think I had them fourth, didn't I?
Yes,
and,
I've got them.
Now that leads on perfectly because they've now parted way with Nick Nurse. So, yeah. What do you think is going to happen with Toronto now?
Apparently, they're after Udoka, is what the rumours are circulating. So, they're gonna have to start again, aren't they?
They just need to build with Scotty Barnes, don't they?
Yeah.
Sell on Siakam, sell on Anunoby, Van Vliet, and blow it up. Yeah, that's what I would do. I don't think they will. I'm not sure they will go all that way, but it's
well, that makes the Poeltl trade they did at the trade deadline all the more strange, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where does Nick Nurse end up?
With the Lakers. I can't see Darvinham last in the season.
I think he's done a good job, to be honest.
Do you reckon?
I can see Nick Nurse ending up somewhere that is part established but ready to be taken on. I know that on that statement, perhaps in Houston is a bit off from what I'm saying, but they've got some pieces there already. And it's the sort of task I think that he'd be able to produce good results from.
Well, like so a Dallas?
Yeah, mate, anything like that. Any team like that, yeah.
Have Detroit appointed a new coach yet?
I don't believe they have. They've got a few assistants that have been lined up for interviews, from what I gather.
Because I think that could be, if you get people fit and where they could be picking in this draft, that could be quite dangerous. If you think, like, if they win for example, won the lottery, and you're putting Wembanyama, Duran, and then the backcourt that they're going to have next season, that's potentially very scary. It's what I don't want to see, actually, because I think that could be a roadblock for us, which would be worrying in the East.
Flipping it, what about him coming to us?
Has Mosley done such a bad job?
I have him as an assistant.
Proven championship record.
He won't take an assistant job, will he?
No, but proven championship record. Team that's in a very strong position to take a step forward. So one of the things that people have been criticising for a while is some of the inexperience of our coach. I don't necessarily agree with that. But what's to say that it wouldn't be a good move?
What about San Antonio? If Popovich decides to retire, the situation they're trying to put together there, if they luck out in the lottery, get Victor, and then, I don't know, Pop going to do another season. You know, he's getting on a little bit, but, you know, he's done, 30-odd years in the league. So it may be time that he wants to step aside. I don't know. And San Antonio is a pretty stable organisation, isn't it? They're obviously going through a rebuild at the moment. But it could be something you're looking at.
I'm looking at somebody like the Suns. If they bow out of the playoffs really early, let's say they don't make it past the second round, Monty Williams has taken him to the finals and he couldn't get it done, and they make the big trade to get KD and it doesn't work. Monty Williams could be on the chopping block, and then all of a sudden there's a big job there waiting for somebody to take over. So you could see somebody like Nick Nurse going somewhere like that for me.
Or the 76ers.
To be honest, I think they're going to blow up if it doesn't work for them.
For me, I think Detroit would be one I would look at. I think Paul's right when he said about Houston. I think Brooklyn could be enticing, as in it'll throw everything at it, whether it'll get anywhere. But I think Brooklyn would make that as an ambitious move. For us, I see the argument of an experienced coach with championship aspirations. My why not do it is I get the impression that our young players love Mosley.
Yeah,
I agree. I wonder just what impact that would have on the locker room if we got rid of him. So I don't think he's done a bad job. I think he's done pretty well and he's grown a lot last season. So I would keep Mosley. Plus I just don't like Nick Nurse's face and I don't want to have to see it 82 times at least.
I asked the question simply because, as you know, I've said, he is probably probably my least favorite coach, as he's up and down on the sidelines, you know, arguing every call, but that level of commitment I'd equally love to see in the Magic's corner. It's one of those things that we said earlier in the season that we'd like to see the coach perhaps get one or two more technicals to show the team that side of things, that he's there to do their fighting. That being said, I think that Jamal deserves to stay with us. I think he's done a good job, and I do agree with the point on locker room that I don't think it would help the chemistry. So no, but I just thought it'd be an interesting question.
It is. It definitely is. It definitely is. So Paul, you're obviously speaking there, so when you're reflecting on your picks.
Okay. The two I was out on particularly was Miami. Genuinely thought they'd be better than they were. I think I'd got them finishing in third. And the other one that I was out on was the Knicks. I'd got them finishing 10th. And obviously they ended up, where were they? Fifth.
Yeah.
Yep. Next fifth. Yeah. So I was out on, that was my two that I was particularly out of. I got Milwaukee, Washington and Detroit correct. However, what you won't be aware of, and I found my notes for that pod. And remind me not to listen to you again, Mikey, please. Because my original top three, when we were doing as to go going into the pod, when we were doing it, and I changed it whilst we were doing the pod, my original top three was Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia. They were my original top three, and whilst I was listening to your points about, yeah, I think it's going to really affect the chemistry, and it's, you know what, I dropped them by two places and bumped up Miami and Philadelphia by one each. Oh. So I was a little annoyed at having seen my original notes. But can we just say that it's a good job that we never got to broadcasting the ones for the Western Conference, because I was very, very guilty of sleeping on the Sacramento Kings, and I had the Golden State Warriors doing far better than they did. I had them winning. I had them winning the West, and I had Sacramento finishing eighth. So yeah.
But if you listen to me, that's the takeaway. Based on the fact that I've got one correct prediction out of 15 this season, don't listen to me.
But if you were a Kings fan and someone had told you before the season that your team would make the eighth seed, you would probably have taken it. Mm.
You know, that's exceeded. The other one I was well out on was OKC. I didn't expect them to make the jump. I was four places out for them.
You had them down as worst in the league, Paul. I went back and listened to the pod earlier.
Yeah, I thought I'd got Pistons as the worst.
Oh, I don't know. I just listened to it back earlier.
Yeah, but I'd got the Pacers, Rockets, Thunder, and Pistons as the worst record.
So what did the rest of us have, G?
So worst in the league, from listening back earlier, Paul said the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then Mikey, you had one of three. You had the Spurs, the Jazz, and the Pacers. Gary had the Jazz, the Spurs, and the Hornets, which is probably the most right answer of everyone. And I had San Antonio, Utah, and Indiana. So, yeah. It's interesting.
So, gee, how you did a bit of the stats dive there.
I went back because I forgot what I said. So I had a little listen this afternoon. I got two right in the Wizards in 12th and the Hornets in 14th, but way off on the Knicks. I had them in 11th, the Heat in 3rd, which I'm quite happy that they weren't 3rd and they ended up in the 8th seed. And then obviously I had the Nets in 4. Obviously didn't know Durant and Irving would be traded. So that's a little bit of a strange one. And obviously then didn't have the Celtics. I had the Celtics in 5 instead of 2nd. So, like you guys, a couple of them have gone amiss. I did have the Magic in 9th, but I'm not going to say I'm annoyed at that because I think we made a jump this year and we weren't that far off getting, you know, the 10th in the end. And then obviously the last three games, we just put our swords down, really, didn't we? So there was obviously a chance of getting that. But all the other ones, they were there or thereabouts. But it was Gary and Paul who had the Bucks at first. Mikey and I went with the Sixers. So, well done, boys. How about you, Gar?
The ones where I was way off, I think I really overestimated the season the Pistons would have with the 12th seed. I will say I think the injuries didn't help with Cade Cunningham being missing. I think I underestimated the Cavs because I had them in 7th and I had the Hawks in 6th. So I was kind of a bit off there. I think being right, something I was right, kind of right on was that I said there will be three teams vying for the 10th seed, which the Magic would be one of, which I called, but I didn't get. I had the Knicks and the Pistons as the other two who would be fighting around that. Said I thought that the Warriors would and the Bucks would be in the final, the Warriors being the winners of the West, which I thought they had one more season in them in terms of dominating the league, which they might still win it, but they haven't been dominant. Whilst I didn't get the seeding right, I did say that I felt the Heat and the Raptors weren't all of that. So I think I had the Heat placed in 5th and I had the Raptors in 8th. For it, I said I wasn't convinced by Toronto. I said I was convinced by Nurse, but not the makeup of the team. And I was very wrong as well with the Knicks. I think I'd said it privately, not on the pod. I thought they'd overpaid on Jalen Brunson, and I got that.
I don't think any of us genuinely expected the Knicks to make that leap that they did this season. Mm-hmm. Brunson looked every penny of value in that in that role this season. I genuinely found that surprising.
Yeah, I didn't expect
as much as good a guy as I think he is, or thought he was before that trade. I didn't expect that he was going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was gonna, who you had.
I didn't think he was going to be the Austin Reeves.
He wasn't going to win the Taylor and Horton Tucker Award, was he not?
Do you want to know who you guys had for the finals and who you went for winning it all?
I think I know who I had, G.
I had Bucks Warriors, didn't I?
So Paul had Golden State Milwaukee with Milwaukee winning it. Mikey had Milwaukee against the LA Clippers with Milwaukee winning it. Gary had Golden State Milwaukee with Milwaukee winning it. And I had Golden State Philadelphia with Philadelphia winning it. Does anybody want to make a change?
I will.
Yeah, I'm going Denver. I'm going Denver and Denver Milwaukee in the final still.
Denver Boston with Boston winning.
Okay, I'm going Phoenix Milwaukee. Mikey?
Honestly, I'm just going to stick with it because I've got everything else wrong this season, so it doesn't really matter. I think I've got one takeaway. Hey, going into next season, I'm not listening to that many podcasts as I did at the start of this year with all the predictions of hearing everybody saying Indiana was going to be the worst team. And I started believing it. And yeah, it all went out the out the window. I think I genuinely still think Milwaukee will win it all this year, regardless of who they end up playing out of the West. But there are six teams genuinely have a chance of making it out of the West. And I don't think it's that cut. I don't think it's that cut and dry and that clear on who it's going to be at the moment. I think there's a lot of those series that are going to go down to six or seven games, and there's going to be injuries, which we'll talk about in a minute, that are going to make a difference. But like, I picked the Clippers at the start of the season, and Kawhi's been one of the best players in the league down the stretch of March and April. He's been one of the best players in the NBA. Well, if he continues playing on that level, the Clippers have a chance. They're deep enough. They've got Paul George. Once he gets back healthy, they can still make it. It's going to be really fun watching that West play out this season, for sure.
That brings us nicely then, Mikey, to our playoff coverage, and the well underway. We're not going to cover every series, but I've just picked a selection of them inspired by Paul's really good article that you should check out on the website. It's looking at like who we're picking, who we like, etc., with the Magic not in there. But for me, I'll start with G. It's two of your favourite teams in the league. It's the Grizzlies and the Lakers. It's an intriguing series. And our thinking on this one is, what do you see? What are your hopes for that? So, like, what do you see happening in this one, and what are your hopes for who takes it?
Well, firstly, it's a shame that two teams can't lose, isn't it? Because I'm sure that's what we would have all liked to see. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So, obviously, the big sort of storylines over the first two games are, you know, Ja Morant's injury came down on his hand in the fourth quarter of game one. Steven Adams is missing. So, the Memphis Grizzlies are missing two key players. But in fairness, I've watched both games. The Lakers played really well. In game one, obviously stole home court. Five of their players notching over 19 points. Anthony Davis was playing very well. Maybe not a top 75 player, but you know, all in all, the Lakers shooting the ball well from deep, and that opened up passing lanes. That let, you know, everybody get their points. So obviously they stole home court. Then we've had the obviously the Ja Morant injury, and then it was it broke that he wouldn't be playing in game two. So watching game two, obviously I'm not gonna lie, I wanted the Grizzlies to win. I'm sure we all want the Grizzlies to win. But it felt like the Lakers turned up to the second game almost thinking they were gonna win. Looking at the team was up against them, you know, no Morant, no Adams. They've already beat them the one time, and of course Memphis just took it to them. So key points from the game two. The Lakers bench has really struggled in this series so far. Only two players actually scored off the bench, and you know, there was a lot of mop-up minutes right at the end there, even Mobamba getting a minute. So Malik Beasley and Rui Hachimura, who's having a fantastic series. But the bench didn't play well. The starters, LeBron, scored 28 points, but he was only one of four players in double digits, but he did register a minus 17 on the plus-minus scale. So, you know, Memphis really turned it up. Jackson Jr., he's a fantastic player, isn't he? Wish we could have him on our team. And then you get the whole theatrics around Dylan Brooks and, you know, getting into LeBron's face, calling him old, being proper disrespectful. So you don't like that at the same time. So it's a strange one. Obviously, I'd like Memphis to go on and beat them 4-1. But it's probably one of the series that may go to seven. So, and as long as they, you know, take their medicine, beat the living crap out of each other, really, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? The right slog fest, right until the end, maybe a couple of overtime games, just to keep us on the edge of our seats, that'd be nice. So that's really my thoughts on the first two, and it's a series I'm, you know, watching every single game.
It's a weird one because I really don't like what Brooks has done, And I'm kind of wanting LeBron to stick it to him.
Because I think Stephen A. Smith came out and said that last day or so, yeah.
I don't dislike LeBron James. And I'm looking and I'm going, I just don't like it, what's happened there. But on the other thing, I think it's going to be interesting how this is a measuring stick for LeBron with some people. Because I think we've got to keep in mind he's older than Jordan was. You know, it's not like, I don't think it's prime LeBron, so to speak, but he still had a hell of a season. But I can see the argument now, if Memphis eliminates the Lakers, the people are going to say what would have happened if Brooks had done this to Jordan. But they're going to look at it through the eyes of Bulls Jordan rather than perhaps Wizards Jordan. You know, but it's one of those. I think it's going to be a bit of a legacy thing for LeBron. And I kind of want LeBron to stick it to him now. Now that he's done that, I'm kind of like, you know what, if the Lakers win that series and then lose in the next round, I'm happy with it.
You turn into the dark side.
I've always been on the dark side, my young apprentice. So that, yeah, it's a funny one, because it's kind of like saying, do you want to die of Black Death or cholera, really, for me? Who do you want to win that one?
Paul, how about the other guys? Sorry, Gab, before you go on, what about the other guys? Who do you want to win, Paul?
Up until we had this, I don't respect him, he's old, I was wanting Memphis. I am in the camp with Gary. Didn't like that. Whether you're a LeBron fan or not, you can't disrespect his impact on the modern game. I'm not interested in who's the greatest of all time, because they never played against one another. They played under different rules. They played under a different, effectively, completely different times. So I'm not bothered about who's the greatest of all time. It doesn't interest me. What I do think is that LeBron has been the consummate professional, brilliant player. When I came to start watching basketball, I wasn't a fan of a team. I was enjoying watching the game. LeBron was must-see TV. The guy's brilliant. His days in Miami, they were fantastic to watch. So I actually didn't like what Brooks was doing. I can understand what he's doing. I can see that it's a mind game, but I still don't like it. So, sticks are one half of those, and I really don't care who goes out, but I would like to see LeBron come back in the next game and absolutely smash Memphis. But either way, I don't care who goes out, as long as they go out next time.
Yeah, can I say neither? Is that an option?
If it is, well, I'll take that.
I don't know. I want to say the Grizzlies, just because I want to be a bit different, and a potential Kings-Grizzlies series in the next round. Two young up-and-coming teams. One's the feel-good story this season. The other team's the team that everybody seems to hate at the moment. I think that would be an interesting series as well. But I don't really care who goes through at this point.
But you do get you get the grudge as well, Mikey. If the Warriors go through, it could be the Warriors-Grizzlies and they don't really like each other.
That's what I think it's going to be.
That's true.
I still think it's Warriors and Grizzlies. Yeah.
So, Paul, you're a big Steph Curry fan. So what are your thoughts on Kings-Warriors? Do you think this is the end this season for the Golden State run? And are the Kings as big a threat as it would seem?
I've loved watching this series. I think this series has been fantastic, these three games. Some good physical basketball. Some superb basketball from both teams, despite poor shooting percentages. Game one, I honestly thought that Golden State had that, with two clear opportunities from three to win it, one with Jordan Poole and then Steph Curry in the last few seconds. He got himself clear, got a perfect shot for him and hit the rim. But that fourth quarter of game one was just an incredible feast of basketball, superb stuff to watch. So many twists and turns in it. Game two, we've got to talk about that flagrant two on Draymond. I think it was a correct decision. I do think he stamped down. However, getting only a technical on Sabonis for the initial grab of the ankle, which felt, it just felt inadequate. But in the laws of the game, it just felt it was an inadequate punishment. So it's probably quite a dangerous play in what he did, grabbing somebody moving like that. I wasn't convinced of the need for the suspension once you ejected Draymond from the game. That being said, if Wagner and his hip check in Detroit is a 2-game suspension, then you have to suggest that a chest stamp by a, in the words of Joe Dumas, repeat offender, should be more. But I honestly thought that the worst offence in the series so far was Embiid's kick on Claxton. How that was only a flagrant one, I do not understand. Just don't understand that. Game three last night, just felt like the Warriors came out and went, there you go, we're not done. We're still a team to be, we're still a force to be reckoned with. I had the Warriors winning in six on the bracket challenge. I'm going to stick with that. I can still see that. As to the end of the Warriors, feels a bit premature, but they can't go on, they can't win in the way that they used to. They used to be able to allow teams, they used to be able to do multiple turnovers, and they used to be able to foul players, but teams in the West have got so much significantly better that I don't feel that if the Warriors continue with the amount of turnovers and the fouling that they'd, the foul trouble that they've got in, that they're going to win. They have to tighten that up. But the Kings are legit. And as I said earlier, I was guilty of sleeping on them. Fox, Monk, Sabonis, Huerta, am I missing? Morey and Barnes. Yeah. That's a really strong core. They've got some good players and they've built it brilliantly, especially when you consider how much they were pilloried for the Sabonis trade, where they let Halliburton and Hield go to Indiana. They've built patiently. And what I didn't realise until having, until it was mentioned the other day in some commentary, I think it was in one of the games, that they still own the majority of their own picks. I think they've only got one that's owed to anybody, part of the Indiana trade. Other than that, they own all their own draft capital. They've done it brilliantly. So, yeah, they are legit. It's a really entertaining series. It's going to be close, but I'm going to stick with my bracket challenge and say that they win in six. Golden State win in six.
They are a likeable team, though.
They are.
Yeah, Fox, I don't know about you guys, but Fox has got a lot of the Morant qualities about him, but without the whole drama that's been surrounding Memphis as of late, so it makes them kind of, yeah, they're exciting, but they're right now they're more palatable than Memphis. I would say they're quite like, yeah, okay, in this something you could say the Magic kind of going, that's how we would be if we saw along in the wilderness, so to speak.
Look, you know I'm a Steph fan, and if Golden State have got to go out to a team, then I'm quite happy at being the Kings.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. And that's well,
Go on,
G.
You touched upon the Sixers series there. I know we haven't got it to talk about on the agenda, but obviously there was a couple of incidents last night. Just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were. Obviously, Embiid kicked out, didn't he, at Nick Claxton. Got a flagrant one call when a lot of people thought it should have been a flagrant two.
Straight two.
And then at the end of the third, James Harden got booted out for a flagrant two in what for me was, it wasn't a flagrant two at all. It was a technical or maybe a flagrant one at best, when he was literally trying to make space to drive on the perimeter, and his arm sort of reached out and knocked, who was it?
Middle stump.
Royce O'Neal in the nether regions. And then you got, I think Reggie Miller was very surprised on the commentary, but obviously Philadelphia did prevail. But I thought they got those two decisions the wrong way around myself. But yeah. Just wondered what you guys thought.
I think Reggie Miller absolutely nailed it in the commentary where he said he hates to see a makeup call.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's
exactly what the Harden call was. But how Sabonis, how Embiid was only a flagrant one. And to listen to what's the official, the ex-official that they've got on there.
The one in the...
Yeah, with the bow tie
boy. Steve Jabby?
No, it's vice president of the Officials Association or something. But he was on, and he's there justifying it, that it's the location of the first impact. That kick, no. It doesn't matter where... It's still a violent act, regardless of where you connect. The intent was there. That was a flagrant two. It was a ridiculous call. Plus, as well, I actually thought him grabbing Claxton in the air as he bringing him down was quite dangerous in the first place. I understood why Claxton stepped over him and looked down quite annoyed, shall we say.
I think what these highlight is what would make G slightly happy is part of that Athletic article was the players voting that the thing that was that's how did they word it? That's not making the league as good as it could be, or it's holding the league back from being better. And the officiating was ranked at the top of the list.
Yeah.
There's a lot that they're getting wrong at the moment. And G has obviously been advocating for that for about the last 25 years. But
could do better.
Mikey, the other series I've highlighted here is the Bucks and the Heat, and it's been plagued with injuries. It's in the balance. So what's your thoughts? The Bucks had the best record in the league. Can they take it all, or do you think that it's in jeopardy now?
I still think they're gonna finish that the series. I had them to win 4-1, and I still think we're going to see a gentleman's sweep. I mean, we saw this when we played the Raptors in 2019. We stole home court. And we're riding high and we're feeling good about ourselves. And then we soon come down to earth when we realise we were playing against a better team. And I think the same's going to happen here. Obviously, the two big injuries is Giannis with his back injury, which is listed day to day. I still think, and we saw this in game two, that Milwaukee still have more than enough to beat this team. And obviously the other big injuries, Tyler Hero breaking his hand, who's having surgery on that today, who's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And if he does return, it's rumoured that it might be around the NBA Finals. I don't think there's any chance the Miami Heat are getting to the NBA Finals this year, even as good as Jimmy Butler's been. It's just not going to happen. That's really it for me. It's that simple. I mean, even if Giannis doesn't play the rest of the series, I mean, you look at game two, it was really Jrue Holiday and Brook Lopez leading the way for Milwaukee, as you would expect. Chris Middleton as well. Joe Ingles' experience off the bench was 17 in game two as well. Booby Portis, as Paul called him earlier in the year.
I didn't actually call him it, I typed it.
Oh, you typed it.
But me being me, had to bring it up on the pod.
Absolutely.
Was that predictive text, Paul?
There's been one or two of those, hasn't there, recently?
But yeah, Bobby Portis is always a solid contributor for Milwaukee. Yeah, game one. I think it was more of a shocker in game one. It was a bit of a. I think Milwaukee weren't quite expecting Miami to come out the gate like they did. Obviously, Jimmy Butler led the way with 35 points, and he was as great as you'd expect him to be. But I still don't think Miami have got anywhere near enough. I mean, look, they're there. They're in Miami for games 3 and 4 now. The Bucks have got the best record on the road in the NBA this season. So you still fully expect them to go on the road and win game 3 and 4 and then go home and wrap it up.
That's a player who might have some tough guy shouts as well, Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
He's got a back catalogue of it, hasn't he?
Yeah, he could have other. He might be in other.
Yeah, it's a good shout, actually, because he had was he in Chicago that he had a little bit of a falling out?
I think Michael Carter Williams should come into other.
Oh yeah, I think MCW.
What about Wendell? I think Wendell would be in there too.
Possibly, but then we've seen Wendell fall into a thirst trap before as well, haven't we? When he was in Chicago, where he's got his Mr. Loverman look on, and I don't think he can be Mr. Loverman and badass at the same time. So I'm not putting Wendell in there. You know, I'd rather fight Wendell than the Admiral Ducks, or the Admiral Mice, or whatever they were. So this is going to bring us to the quiz, and I hope I've done my counting right here, because I was putting this together, and I think it's a bit of a tough question. So the NBA playoffs are underway, and I'll give you a little clue to start with. There are 11 players in there that I can count who have played for the Orlando Magic that have featured either in starting lineups or on benches for the playoff teams. I might be wrong on that, but I've got 11, perhaps 12 if you count a player who was drafted by the Magic but never actually played for us. So he was traded away. Yeah. So who are these players?
Mo Bamba.
So, right, okay. Mo Bamba's one. Well done.
Terrence Ross.
Two.
Biombo.
Three.
Aaron Gordon.
Four.
Jeff Green.
Five.
Robin Lopez.
Six.
Victor Oladipo.
Seven.
Dwayne Dedman.
Eight.
Tobias Harris.
Nine.
Rolo.
Ten. Have we had him?
Yeah, I said it.
Don't know. You're writing him down?
Fournier.
Yep.
Short of one now, aren't we?
So we've got one player.
Joe Harris.
Oh no.
Did we say Joe Harris? Magic,
Sabonis, if you
Sabonis is the one who was drafted by us but never featured. You could technically have Joe Harris, but he's not who I'm thinking of. You could even say the same for Seth Curry, technically kind of had a bit of Magic representation, but Sabonis was the one I had as drafted, but never
Darius Saric is another one.
Okay. There is another player.
Drafted by us, but then traded for Alfred Payton, wasn't he?
But there is a player who we said Harris there. Did we say both Harrises?
What, Joe Harris?
Think about the Sixers.
Oh, he was, was he drafted by us? And no, not drafted by us.
Tobias Harris? I didn't hear Paul. So there's one more player that we've got. He's on a Western Conference team and he has played for the Magic before.
We've had Aaron Gordon, we've had Jeff Green.
You're on the right team.
We've had
on the Nuggets.
On the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
I can only think of the two.
There's a third one. He's a journeyman. I've got him as a former Magic player. God.
Someone like Ish Smith, is it?
That's it, yeah.
There we go.
Well done. Well done. So that was our quiz. You made mint.
That was a tough one, that end one.
Yeah, that was the one. I was going through it and I was kind of like, right, there's some obvious ones here. And then the ones where I thought, might there be struggle? Ish Smith was definitely the curveball. And then I was kind of like, think you'll pick up on Dedman and Green, but I was like, they could possibly be in there, but I thought Ish Smith would be the one, so to speak.
I nearly came out with the playing guys because you'd got two or three there as well, but they went out, didn't they? So
that was
Otto Porter.
That was
Jeff
last
Danton
night.
Jr.
Doubting, yeah.
That was my deep dive about 1 o'clock in the morning last night when I couldn't sleep. I was like, I need a quiz question here. Brain going all over the place.
Oh, very good. Very good, Gar.
All right. So that's the end of this week's episode. As always, thank you for listening and or watching. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. Please leave us your comments and we'll try to get back to you. Do follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Orlando Magic UK. So from Mikey, so from G, and so from Paul, and myself, go Magic.